welcome to the Rails Envy podcast. I'm Jason Seifer.
And I'm Greg Pollock.
And we survived Vegas.
Oh my gosh.
This is episode 78, May 13th, 2009. The Rails Envy podcast is sponsored this week by Harvest at getharvest.com, which is a web-based time tracking and invoicing application dedicated to helping freelancers and developers easily track hours and get paid faster. It's simple and intuitive to use. It takes care of your numbers for you while you focus on delivering great work. Check them out at getharvest.com.
About 2 weeks ago, Alexander Dymo posted a bunch of interesting benchmarks comparing different Ruby interpreters to show how fast each of them are running a real Rails application.
Haven't other people done this?
Yeah, but what's really cool is his benchmarks were run against his, you know, production app, not the typical, you know, Hello World benchmark.
That's really important. That's why we always say that benchmarks don't mean anything. It's because they're not running against production apps. It's always contrived. But anyway, what were the results?
Well, JRuby was about 1 times faster than Ruby 1.8, and Ruby 1.9 was about twice as fast as Ruby 1.8.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yep. Only thing to keep in mind, though, is that JRuby is still being optimized, so I have no doubt that over the next few months it's just going to get closer and closer to 1.9.
Nice. Giles Boquette had this to say, "My balls are getting closer and closer to performance of 1.9.
Where did that come from?
Haven't you been reading like all the troll posts Giles has been doing?
No, I haven't.
Oh, check them out when you get a sec. They're pretty funny. I found an awesome use of Rack middleware this week by Luke Castera called API throttling.
I'm all for throttling. I am pro throttling.
Aren't we all? Just like you're pro peeping?
Yeah.
Well, this is the classy Rails Envy podcast.
Yeah.
Careful, we might lose more listeners. Anyways, Luke wrote up a great blog entry showing he was able to implement a throttler middleware, which is going to impose a rate limit so that users can only submit 60 requests per hour, you know, to their API. And if they go over that, they get a 503 status code and a massage.
You know, 503 status code and a massage? I think maybe that was supposed to be message.
Yeah, I think you're right. That might have just been a typo.
They get a message that they went over their rate limit.
Right.
And what would this be useful for?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, getting a nice massage. The second thing that comes to mind is, you know, a service like Twitter. They limit the number of API requests that you can send in an hour, and they also can't scale. You know, also sites like Ticketmaster that are prone to gaming and things like that could help, you know, in situations like that as well.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense for people like me who just sit there and just like refresh, 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 refresh.
There you go.
So a few weeks ago, we mentioned Tokyo Cabinet, another key value database store, which is similar to CouchDB in that it doesn't require any schema to store data.
Oh, right. From Ilya Grigoryk's post, right?
Yeah, that's when I first heard about it. And check out that post if you want to read more about it. But the reason I'm bringing it up this week is that this week I found a gem from Joshua Hull called Tokyo Cash Cow.
Wow, that's an awesome name. I wish I had brought that cash cow to Vegas.
Moo. I mean, I think you should throttle that cow.
Oh,
Tokyo Cash Cow allows you to use Tokyo Cabinet as a cache store in Rails. This setup would allow you to have a rapid, persistent cache store. And what's really cool about it is that it supports the deleting of keys based on a substring.
You know, I guess the thing is with Memcache, you can only delete keys if you have their exact name. You know, there's no fuzzy matching for cache expiration. When I heard about this, I was initially like kind of skeptical, you know, like why would you build this in as a Rails caching mechanism since Tokyo Cabinet is, you know, Memcache protocol compatible. You know, you could just specify your Tokyo Cabinet server rather than your Memcache server. But, you know, that makes a lot of sense with the fuzzy deletions.
If you find yourself on Craigslist wishing they had an API, you should check out a little gem called libcraigscrape by Krista Rose.
You know, Greg, I find myself on Craigslist quite a bit. However, generally when I'm on there, the last thing I'm thinking about is an API. I don't know what that says about me.
Yeah. Anyways, Chris used this library to buy a home. I guess he was scraping all of the home ads in the area to come up with one that he wanted to buy.
Oh, nice.
Pretty useful application.
You know what? Maybe this week I'll link a couple of really good best of Craigslist posts in the show notes.
Those are the best.
Yeah, they really are. Like, I mean, just glancing at the Best of Craigslist site right now, we have a title called The Streaker Tripper. Can I just read this real quick? Man for woman. I was streaking through the Diag Friday night at 2:15 a.m. Coming around the corner of State and Liberty, fast as a naked blur, I bumped into you and we both fell to the ground. I was a little upset with you at first because I scratched my right butt cheek pretty bad, but I knew it was my fault. You said, "Nice New Balances," and all I could say was, "Thanks," with the adrenaline still rushing. In less awkward circumstances, I would have liked to talk to you. I had never run into a girl that fast or naked before. I didn't know how to respond, so I helped you up quickly and kept running. Since my friends paid me $100 for making it to Carrytown with just my socks, shoes, and a big smile, I'd like to take you on a date. You look pretty fit, so maybe you'd like to go for a run sometime.
Did you submit that, Jason?
No,
to
I wish.
Craigslist? Sure.
I
Whatever.
only wish I was that cool. So the Relevance guys have released Blue Ridge, which is a JavaScript testing sort of framework slash plugin for Rails.
Oh, hey, weren't they talking about that at RailsConf?
I don't know. I missed it if they were, but
Yeah, they were.
I got to talk to one of the guys personally.
Cool.
And it seems really awesome. Straight from the website, the Blue Ridge JavaScript testing Rails plugin adds support for command line and in-browser JavaScript unit test to your Rails app. It bundles a bunch of tools together in a convention over configuration Rails-like way.
Nice.
It comes with Rhino, ScrewUnit, Smoke, and env.js, which is a DOM implementation written entirely in JavaScript.
I haven't heard much about those tools, so I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's really awesome and definitely a huge help when, doing this with Rails, especially if you're not testing your JavaScripts already. This just makes it that much easier.
Cool. Last week, Clemens Kofler emailed me to let me know about a new plugin he released called Delocalize.
And what's that?
The opposite of localize?
Thank you, Mr. Obvious.
Isn't that supposed to be Captain Obvious?
Yeah, I really don't think you're in line for a promotion right now.
Oh. You can call me.
Could our jokes get any worse on this podcast? Could they? No.
Delocalize contains a parser for localized dates and times, allowing your users to enter in data using their localized format, and this plugin will delocalize them before trying to store them in the database.
Could you give us an example of how this is used?
Well, in some countries, they use comma for the decimal separator instead of the decimal point.
Okay, so this would properly change the comma to a decimal point?
Exactly.
Cool. So there you are, writing up that rake task that's going to import 500,000 users into your system. You start up the rake task and wait and wait, and you probably have no idea how long it's really going to take to complete, if it completes at all.
Right. Well, I guess you could tail the log, though, right?
Well, yeah, but how are you going to figure out how long it's really going to take?
Oh, well, maybe print out like a tick mark every 100 records or so.
You could do that, or you could check out a little Ruby class called Progress by Teflon Ted. He needs his own sound effect. This class gives you really good feedback when you run these sort of long-running tasks. Like a script might print out, "Been running for less than a minute at a rate of 5 seconds per item. Should finish in 14 minutes."
Oh, interesting. So it does all the math for you.
Yeah. We should fork this and have it print out really interesting ideas in the meantime. This should finish in 14 minutes. That's enough time to post something on Craigslist.
Last week, Paul Dix released a library called Typhos. Typhos? Typhos? Typhus?
Tiffius.
Typhos?
Typhoeus.
Typhos.
Type-ho-eus.
Which enables parallel HTTP requests and encapsulates handling logic.
Your mouth was moving, but all I heard was.
Well, first of all, it gives you a very clean interface if you need to do remote API calls at the HTTP level. And secondly, it allows you to send out a bunch of HTTP requests all at the same time.
So if you have your web application split up into four different web services for scalability, this would allow you to call out to each of them all at the same time in parallel rather than locking on each request. Is that right?
Yeah, you got it. Another cool feature is that you can tell a library to cache the API response for a given amount of time. So if I only cared about the API data being fresh every minute, I could tell the API to expire the cache every 60 seconds.
Oh, nice. And then every subsequent call will just pull it from the cache?
Exactly.
Awesome. If you're wondering what are the most popular libraries for Ruby, you might want to check out Ruby Toolbox at ruby-toolbox.com. This website shows you the most popular tools by category based on the amount of forks and watchers in GitHub.
And what sort of categories does it have?
It has categories like authentication, code metrics, browser testing, exception notification, daemonizing, mocking, and a bunch of others. They even have a top 10.
Interesting. And what were in the top 10?
From least to most popular, at number 10, we have WebRat, AuthLogic, RSpec, followed by Cucumber at number 7, Attachment Foo, followed by followed by Paperclip, Blueprint CSS, then RESTful Authentication at number 2, and at number 1, the most popular Ruby gem is...
Rack?
No.
Date Performance?
No.
Member Extension?
No.
Selective Protection?
No.
Furniture Porn?
Yes. No, but now you're just making stuff up.
No, I'm not. What about clown shoes?
Shut up. It's just Rails. Is the most popular.
That was anticlimactic.
Well, maybe you need to check out the member extension and date performance plugins.
Yeah.
Melt your brain!
Today we're going to take a look at XMPP, which stands for Extensible Messaging and Presence Protocol. XMPP is an XML protocol which was initially designed for doing instant messaging and buddy lists.
So XMPP itself is just a document that says your XML messages should look like this?
Exactly. So this way, anybody can write a client which speaks XMPP that can talk to a server that understands XMPP, you know, and it's mostly for, you know, instant messaging across the net.
Yeah, what, didn't that come out of Jabber?
Right. XMPP used to be called Jabber, and some people use the two words to mean the same thing. Jabber is also the name of the first IM service based on XMPP. You know, they've got jabber.org.
And Google Talk uses Jabber XMPP, right?
Exactly. And even GitHub does Jabber notifications, so you can get like a notification every time somebody does a commit to a specific library if you want.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, what's really interesting, though, is from a developer perspective, how people have been using XMPP to do message-oriented middleware. Here in the Ruby world, we have XMPP for R, which allows us to create XMPP-related applications.
Middleware. So this is where you might have 10 computer workers in which each are their own Jabber client, and the XMPP protocol can be used for process-to-process communication?
You got it. However, there's a new kid on the block for doing this, which is gaining a little bit more momentum than XMPP, called AMQP, or Advanced Message Queuing Protocol. Whereas XMPP was designed for instant messaging clients initially, AMPQ was designed from the start for managing the flow of messages across back-end computer systems. It's also a binary protocol rather than XML.
So it's going to be faster and probably better if you're sending files across the wire.
Exactly. And in Ruby, we have the AMQP library from Mangupta to interface with it. Mangupta, as a matter of fact, was a Ruby hero. He got a Ruby Hero Award this last week.
Nice. But doesn't the library from Ezra use... Doesn't Nanite use AMQP?
Exactly. And that's a really good example of using AMQP. He basically uses it to assemble a cluster of workers or agents to work on background jobs on your application.
So in that case, you know, Nanite is sort of acting like a messaging queue, but it's really scalable. You know, when you need more processors working on your message queue, you would just start up a new agent, which then would subscribe to your application's backend using AMQP and start processing the messages. Give or take.
So if you have a bunch of computer processors that need to talk to each other rapidly, you might want to take a look at AMQP. And this week I ran into a great introduction to AMQP by Eric Kidd, who shows you how to create a chat client using Ruby, AMQP, and Event Machine.
Wait a second. You just told me that XMPP is for instant messaging and AMQP is for computers to talk to each other. But this tutorial shows you how to do instant messaging with AMQP? There's a lot of P's and Q's and A's.
It's just, this is just a demo, though, you know, so you can get familiar with how to use the protocol. But you're right. If you're doing like instant messaging, then you use XMPP, whereas with AMQP is what you use for computer-to-computer communication most of all.
Gotcha. I've been developing a protocol also.
What's it called?
It's called IHV2P. Basically, it's not so much a protocol as a personalized license plate.
Oh.
I haven't really been working on it so much as that's something I have to do right now. IHV2P. I'll be honest, I just peed myself. If you have an open source project on GitHub that you'd like other people to use, it's pretty important to give it a welcoming homepage. Kind of like Flogger Flay.
Those like gothic homepages. Yeah, those are effective. Anyways, but I think what you're talking about is how some RubyForge pages used to have this sort of nice front page.
Right, right. And GitHub has something pretty similar called GitHub Pages. And last week, Aaron Quint wrote up a great blog article showing how he was able to quickly give all of his projects a new look and feel using GitHub Pages.
That's awesome. It definitely helps to learn a project when things are laid out in a form that's nicer to read, that's more pleasant on the eyes.
Definitely.
Hey, Jason, remember a while back we were working on a project where you had to do a mashup of a bunch of different latitude and longitudes, but we couldn't have all 500 points on the map at once? You know, you started off with a few, and then as you zoomed into a particular area on the map, you got more points and zoomed in and got more points.
Yeah, I remember. That was pretty painful.
Yeah. But I think someone actually just published a library or service that does all of that for you and could have saved us days and days of work.
Wow, where was that library 2.5 years ago?
Yeah, no kidding. Anyways, a library or service is called Maptimize. And this week, Sebastian Grosjean wrote up a great tutorial walking through how to create a Rails app that does geocoding on addresses, which you can then use to map using Maptimize.
Nice. If you're looking for a good e-commerce solution in Rails, you might want to check out Spree, which just released version 0.8.0. The new version of Spree has improved graphic design, especially in the admin. It uses Sass, Compass, the Blueprint CSS framework, and now uses the Auth Logic gem for authentication. There are a bunch of other improvements, too.
Yeah, Spree's pretty nice. Isn't that what we used for nvcast.com?
Real subtle, Greg. Real subtle.
Ruby 1.9, What You Need to Know, two-part video with David Black, just $16 for both videos. It was great seeing everybody out at RailsConf. Thanks to everybody who came up to us and talked to us about doing the podcast. Really appreciate all the feedback.
Yeah, it was great to see everyone at RailsConf. Had a great time in Vegas. Pretty surprised that we all made it back in one piece. You know, developers can get a little bit crazy. If I didn't get to see you, sorry, next year, or send me an email. All right. Thanks so much for listening to the Rails Envy podcast. The Rails Envy podcast is sponsored this week by New Relic. New Relic RPM is a Ruby on Rails performance monitoring application that lets you see and understand application performance metrics in real time so you can fix Rails problems fast. RPM is intuitive, it's granular, and it's a 10-second Rails plugin install. Check them out at newrelic.com. And make sure to tune in every Wednesday for the latest news in the Ruby and Rails worlds.